Blog Talk Radio.
Going through, it doesn't matter what it looked like. It doesn't matter how long it take. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what the word says. So we're going to be talking tonight, and we won't be with you long, but we're going to be discussing renewing your strength. You know, that's a powerful thing, because in this journey, the enemy tries to zap us out of our strength so that the joy of the Lord is weakened, because we understand that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes, so we want to encourage you tonight to know that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So we can't get tired that we want to throw in the towel, tired that we want to quit. Quit and go where? Quit and do what? Oh, yes. We're going to be talking about renewing your strength tonight. Well, Father God, I thank you for who you are. And I give you honor and glory because you are so faithful, God. There is none like you. Father, you look beyond our fault, and you have always seen our needs. So we just ask you today that you would hide me behind the cross and allow your word to come out of my mouth and let it be a blessing to those that hear it. In the name of Jesus, I cover the lines with the blood of Jesus. I cover the people, Lord God, the airways, and those that will hear it. I come against any outside force that would hinder the people of God from receiving your word. In the name of Jesus, I say amen and glory to God. Well, this is Prophetess Teresa Docks, Phillips Docks, and I'm here tonight just to encourage you in the Lord. We're going to ask you if you'll take your Bibles out and if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Yes, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. And it reads, we know that the word of God is already blessed. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of him, of his understanding. This is the part that I like. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the young shall faint and be weary. The youth and the young men shall utterly fall. Ha koraboshe, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall shout, Lord have mercy, shall, I'm getting beside myself, but shall mount up with wings. Listen to that. Shall mount up with wings as eagles, and shall run and not be weary. Can you imagine? And they shall walk and not faint. Glory to God. You know, the word of God is so powerful. If we just take the word of God and just let it embrace our spirits, you know, there is always those times when it seems that Satan, the enemy, is getting the best of us. And sometimes it might be a little hard to maintain your faith and your trust in God when everything is going against us. And we're in the midst of one of the greatest battles in our lives. You know, maybe our marriages are at stake. Maybe our jobs are on the line. Maybe a close relationship is coming to an end, you know, or maybe we in foreclosure, or, you know, just some things are going on. And it is in those times that we need the Lord more than ever. You know, it is in those times that our faith and our trust in God is really put to the test. You know, when you get lied on and talked about, it's in those times that we should press in closer. You know, as my mother would always say, this is where the rubber meets the road. So to speak about being renewed, letting your strength be renewed when it's all going down, it's in our walk with the Lord that we understand that when the enemy come to eat up our flesh, when the enemy come to try to take away what God is trying to do in our lives, that's when we press in more. You know, I've been in this journey for a while, and I understand that when you first start living for the Lord, when you get tried and you get tested, you know, you want to get in the flesh. I was with a young woman today, and she was saying how she used to be, and people don't want to see the old ugly her. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because guess what? Because we're on a journey now. We're not talking about how we used to be anymore. We're talking about where we're headed. And so this is medicine. This is good for the soul. So when your life is in the middle of turmoil, and even the waves of temptation, it feels like it's about to swamp you under, I want to encourage you to look up and put your trust in God, for it is in that moment that he is ready to promote you, to elevate you. You know, that's when you put your faith to the test to see if you will pass or fail, because guess what? This life is like a classroom, and we have to pass the test to get to the next grade. So we can't take none of this stuff personal, because we understand too much is given, much is required. So when your life is being tested, and when you're in the middle of some things that's going on that just doesn't seem right, you're saying, well, Lord, why me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? You know, we got to pass the test. See, that is the moment when your trust is built. So we're talking about kingdom building. Guess what? The kingdom is at hand. Guess what? The kingdom is within us, and it has to be birthed out of us. See, God done already done all that he's going to do. We just got to follow, as Dorothy would say on The Wizard of Oz, follow the yellow brick road. I just thought I'd throw that one in there because that was just in my spirit. But as we follow the path to where we're going, that when the enemy attack our health, when he attack our families, when he attack our friends, you know, that's the moment that our relationship with God will really show. See, it's that truth, that depth that's in us will come up and out of us when we're being tested. So we can't say, they don't want to see that old ugly me. They don't want to see that how I used to be. No, no, we don't even want to go there. We don't even want to think like that, because guess what? The Bible says that so if a man thinketh, so is he. So we want to cast down every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So we have to get serious about this thing, and we have to literally take the word and we have to eat it. And when we feel like we're being tested, then, no, we don't press in against the enemy. Guess what we do? We press in to God, because there's promotion that's at the door, and the enemy see that promotion. It might be something you're desiring, and the enemy trying to make you miss it. So you got to tap into the spiritual realm, and you got to really follow the principles of God. Let me give you an illustration. Have you heard about the Gatorade? You know, and that was given to enlisted men in training camps. And during World War II, the daily training for those GIs included a run through an obstacle course. They had to run through an obstacle course. When obstacles come in your way, what you going to do, how you going to handle it. And then on the final stretch of the endurance, it was an endurance test. Can you endure? Can you not quit? Can you stay focused to get to the finish line? So it was an obstacle course where obstacles were just thrown in their way, and what you're going to do with what you got, and you got to survive. So they're on this journey, and they're in this training camp, and all these obstacles are being thrown at them, and they can't quit. They got to endure, because guess what? If they go back, they fail the test, and guess what? They have to start back over again. But on the final stretch of the endurance test, they had to grab a rope and swing across a broad, shallow pool of water. And under the blazing southern sun, it was in Florida, this article that I was reading about this situation, and the sun was real hot, and you know in Florida it is hot, and the water looked so inviting to the men that most of them soon developed a habit of making it only halfway across the pond. Why was that? Because that was an exercise that they would give them to see if they would try to cool off, because the water was like a temptation. It was like an obstacle, because you're sweating, you're hot, you see the water, and you know you're supposed to go over the water. You're not supposed to fall in the water, but your flesh is saying, "Wow, that water looked good. Maybe I'll just get a little bit of it." But until the lieutenant made it known to them that it was large alligators in the water. They were waiting there. Now that water looked good, but underneath that water was alligators. So from the first day, the recruits left the ground 15 feet from the water edge, and they would be out there from dusk to dawn. And they had to make it through. They had to get to the other side. And I'm saying that because likewise, the same journey that we're on as Christians must sometime be shaped by obstacles. See, God allow obstacles to come so that we can be strengthened to not to quit. And we're shaped by these obstacles. We're encouraged by these obstacles. It might not feel encouraging when it's happening, but later on, we understand that this developed our testimonies. And the Word of God says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. So if we don't get a test, we won't have a testimony. And then if by the blood of the Lamb, when we open our mouth, the enemy, we overcome the enemy when we tell our story and we pass the test. But without God in us and not knowing these principles, we'll get go on another course. We won't stay focused on what God is trying to do. And when we're not focused, then we quit, and we have to take that test over, because guess what? The enemy keeps throwing these obstacles in the way. Obstacle, one obstacle after another. And before you know it, you're weary in well-doing. You're weary because the enemy then attacked you a little bit at a time. Now, I want to encourage you to let you know that if you don't quit, that God will give you the spiritual strength to endure. See, if the Lord didn't permit threatening conditions to come into our life, we soon would succumb to the feeling of self-sufficiency. And be overconfident. We would not be humble. We would not understand that it is not I, but but it's Christ that's in me. So he allowed these things to come, like Paul was saying, this thorn in my flesh. It came to buffet me. It came to make me humble. But God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And these are the things that literally cause us to be spiritually strong. That's how we exercise our spiritual muscles. So we must not forget that God has promised us that we will never be tempted above that which we are able to bear. And that ain't all he said. I just love God because he didn't leave anything out. He said, but with every temptation, not just one temptation, he said, with every temptation, every trial, every test, every trouble, every lie, you know, everything that come against us, he said he will make a way for us to escape and win the victory. And if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, you'll find it there. I love that scripture. He said he'll make a way for us to escape. So that means that we don't have to make a way. He not only make a way for us to escape, he also said that, and we'll win the victory. You know, we've just been set up to be blessed. If you really, really think about it, and you really go into meditation, you start thinking about, God already finished the course for me. All I have to do is follow the principles. God never promised us that we wouldn't have hard times. He never promised that we would sail through life without situations, without troubles. But what he did promise us is that he would never leave us. He said he'll never forsake us. And he promised us that he would supply our every need. So we don't have to be stressing about our needs being met because it's a form of doubt. Because he promised in Psalms 55 and 22, he said, cast thou burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Glory to God. We don't have to fight. He said he would never suffer the righteous to be moved. Listen to that. And are we righteous? The Word of God says that we are the righteousness of God. Guess why? By Christ Jesus. Because of what Christ did on the cross, because of his righteousness, we are the righteousness of God. See, we have to get the right picture. Sometimes the enemy have beat up on us mentally and spiritually, and we don't think that we're righteous. We want to think that we're not. But when we understand the spiritual principles, we understand that we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And I just feel a flow coming. I just feel the master's healing touch coming. I just ask you right now, Lord God, that you would open up the hearts and the minds of those that are on the line, Father, and you will let the listeners hear you, Father, that you would take them to a place, Father, that they would all understand, Lord God, that you said in your word, Father, that you would never suffer the righteous to be moved. And you know, I just thank you, Father, that you open up the minds and the hearts and the ear gates of those that are on the line, Father. I ask you to release the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom. Thank you, God. Let there be a shift in their spirits, Father, that they'll receive a revelation, a deeper revelation in the name of Jesus. Amen, and glory to God. And as we get back to the passage, we were talking about Israel. You know, Israel had become discouraged. So God had to remind them of just who he is. God is still in control. Even though we can make decisions, and even though we got our jobs, and, you know, we got this and we got that, we got our car, we can make decisions, but God is still in control. And those who would just place their trust in him will never be moved. And then he also said, if you trust him, he would renew your strength. See, when it seemed like you don't know what to do, when it seemed like that your bill's not going to get paid, I'm here to tell you that your faith is equivalent to finance. Your faith in the spirit is equivalent to your finances in the natural. So you can use your faith and get some things done. You might not have the finance to do it, but you can exercise your faith and get the job done. Because it's a spiritual principle. The finance is a natural principle, but our faith is a spiritual principle, and the spirit rules the natural. So if we're tapped into the spirit, then we can move some things in the natural. So I want to encourage you in the Lord today, tonight, to tell you, exercise your faith. The Bible says that that if we trust him, he said that he would give us the desires of our heart. He said that he would renew our strength. And I don't know about you, but there are times when my strength fail. And I know that many of you have experienced the same thing. I mean, sometimes you just feel weak. You know, sometimes the enemy might have been beating up on you, and it'd be the little things that destroy the vines, those little ikes. It'd be little things. And you don't realize it, that it's a war, it'd be wearing you down. You know, you might even just get a hang-up call, and you don't think nothing of it. And then later on, the paper boy then threw your paper across the street. And then it's another thing, one thing after another. The mailman that walked across your grass, and the neighbor's dog then had a bowel movement on your grass. You know, it'd be the little things, and then it'd be starting to wear you up, wear you down, wear you out. But I'm here to tell you that when you get in the presence of the Lord, things happen. You can always ask God in prayer for strength. Ask him to give you strength to stand. And whenever you get an opportunity to pray to God, open up your mouth and pray. And when you get in the presence of intercessors, where you can join your faith together, there's more power, there's more faith. So you get your prayer in. There is nothing wrong with praying for strength. See, in fact, the best thing that you can do if you really want to have more strength is to ask God for it. God have already laid down the pattern for us to get stronger, and he said it in these verses that I just gave you. The first thing is that we must realize who God is and what he is doing for you right now. See, we see things in the natural, but we got to see things in the spirit. We fight in the natural, but we have to fight in the spirit. See, to you, the trial that you are facing, it might seem very personal. And it seems that no one else can relate or understand but you. you know, but you have to realize that a multitude of people have faced and are facing the same situation that you are. See, your circumstances are no surprise to God. See, He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. Your troubles, they don't move God. You know, what God knows what was coming, what was about to happen. He already had the answer for every one situation. Every situation, He had the answer to them. And He will only, you will only see the victory if we do it God's way. If we do it His way. See, God is God. He's God. And He is all powerful. Actually, there is no limits to Him. There's no limits to His ability to meet us at our point of need. But we want to keep on struggling with this stinky flesh. We want to keep struggling in the natural. But we can soar in the spirit. The Bible says that we're seated. I want you to picture this. Glory to God. We're seated in the heavens with Christ Jesus. And what that means is your mentality, your spirit have to go there. So you have to be beyond the mediocrity. You got to be beyond and above those little darts. You got to be the bigger person. Because there's no limits to God's deliverance and God's provision for whatever we need. And He never gets tired. We have an awesome God. He never gets weary. He never grows weary. He don't get weary. And He's always listening for the prayers of His children. Guess why? To rush to our aid. The angels have been given charge over us. Now, what will we do with the trial that we face? What are you going to do? We should be overcoming things. We should not have to keep struggling and wrestling with that same demon. No. We just chop him up and keep it moving. Yeah, it might sound like it might be a little easy, but guess what? It's all in your mind. You have what you need to overcome every situation. Will we turn to our own devices and make decisions that will cause us to have less time for God? Will we turn to our own decisions and make us have less time for church or even less time for our families? See, we make some decisions, and sometimes these decisions take us away from God, take us away from prayer, take us away from church. You know, you might say, well, I don't have no gas. I'm not going today. But you got money that you plan to use to go out to eat, or you might be planning to do this or that with that money, but you're not going to church because you don't have gas in the car, and you're not going to appropriate that money to the gas so you can get to church. You know, it's just decisions that we make. Will we forget the word of God and just become depressed? You know, I'm not going, and I don't care what you say, I'm not going. And I was with a woman of God today, and you know, she was just talking about how when the enemy try to isolate us from the Lord or from one another, so we can be depressed, so he can beat up on us and take away our faith. But because we don't have the faith that everything will work out, and it really does, as Paul said it would in Romans 8 and 28. What did he say? He said, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We're called to fulfill his purpose. It's not about us. We have a job to do. An enemy distracts us to take our time away from us. Because if he take our time away from us, then he take away our time to be walking in the purposes of God. And so we can abandon our promises. Will we abandon our promises made in the moments of triumph? I mean, will we forget our commitment to Christ that was made when all was going well? We said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Send me to the nations, I'll go. Wherever you want me, I'll do it. Will we forget the times in the past that God has brought us through some rough times? Will we forget the blessings, the healing, the miracles, and every good thing that God has done? I mean, will we just overlook the fact that God has always been and always will be faithful to us, and his promises are the word that's in the word? What are we going to do? That's how the enemy take our strength away, when we forget. We do now that thing that God wants us to do. We will be perfected in things when we don't quit. It's time that we stop our pity party. Quit looking like it's the end of the world. And lift up our eyes to the hill from whence our help comes. Lift our eyes up to the hills of glory, where our help comes from God. And God is not far above our pretty problems. No matter how bad they might seem to us, God will not allow us to fail if we keep our trust and our faith in him. So we can't be talking about the old, how what I used to do, how I used to would handle things. No, we're focused on where we're going. And our trust is in God, because we need our strength. And God, like I said, he will not allow us to fail. So now the test is on you. The question is not one of survival. But whether you will pass the test. Whether you're going to fail and have to take it over again. See, that takes away our time. Now we got to do this thing all over again. And the enemy know the more he keep you away from your purpose, that your time is shortened. The Bible says, appointed unto man wants to die and then the judgment. So we have an appointment that we have to meet. And when we waste our time, our purpose is further off. And if you pass the test, your faith, your trust will grow stronger. And if you fail, you will abandon the ways of righteousness. You turn you're back on God. And you put everything in your life, in your family's life, in jeopardy. And you'll face similar trials again down the road until you learn the lesson of faith and trust. But the choice to fail or pass the test is ours alone. See, God will not force our decision one way or another, because he wants us to learn and to grow in him. God will deal with our decision as a loving father, not as a dictator, you know, not as someone that's trying to make you do something. There is no searching in his understanding. The word says that he giveth power to the faint. So we don't have to run to drugs. We don't have to run to a man, because he said he'll give power to the faint. Do you really believe the word? He said, and to them that have no might, he'll increase our strength. And I wish I could say that I understand why God allowed some things to happen. I mean, I wish I could, but I can't. His ways are so far above my understanding, my abilities. I can only put my trust in him with faith and know that somehow, that some way, that God will take care of me, of everything that concerned me. He cares. See, God knows how to give you the power to overcome. And he will take your weakness. God will take our failure. He'll take our doubts and our fears, and he will turn them into miracles of deliverance. In fact, God often does not move until we have given it over to him. I mean, over to him completely, because he will not share the glory of your deliverance with you. He won't share it. We could say, I did this and I did that and I... No, God won't share your deliverance with you, the glory of it. It is all of him or none of him. See, God is our source of strength. I want you to get this thing. God is our source of strength. He's our source of provision. God is our source of power. God is our source of everything that we need. We can't do anything within ourselves. And I was reading the scripture earlier, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That's the word. We may pride ourselves in our abilities, trying to take care of ourselves. And one thing I can say about America, we in America have so much pride, have such a pride in our freedom and our independency, that we hate having to admit that we need help from anyone, including God. But this scripture, it tells me that no matter how strong or independent we may be, we cannot do it alone. God often has to bring us to a place where we have to stop trying and turn it over to him. And just say, God, that's all I have. That's all I can do now. Now it's up to you. See, God is waiting for those words. But they often, they just often aren't said. Because we have exhausted our own ideals with no results. And the longer I live, the more I realize that everything is in God's hand. When I was younger, I was more inclined to solve everything within my own ability. Oh, Lord, but now, after many, many, many years of trials and tests and trouble, I am beginning to just get a real glimpse of what living by faith really means. See, faith says that everything will work out when it seems that everything is crumbling around me. See, faith says that my bills will be paid even when I can't see how. That in the natural. Faith says that God will take care of me and that I must force myself to stop being overly concerned about my future. See, faith speaks. Faith says that I know somehow God will work it out. God will work it all out. And that when he does, I will be so greatly blessed for having faced all that has happened. But those that wait upon the Lord, Rakoraboshe, shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, this is a scripture that have been preached on so many times. I cannot count them. But we quote it, we read it, we preach it, but we really don't believe it. Waiting upon the Lord requires us to trust him. It requires true faith. Waiting upon the Lord, it requires going through the fire. Sometimes we still trust in God to bring us through. But waiting upon the Lord requires that we believe in the impossible. Looking for the unseen answers. Hoping in the time of hopelessness. And just knowing without knowing. Without knowing why. Without knowing how. That God will take care of us. You know, and it just take my mind back to these little eaglets, these little baby eaglets, little eagles in their nest. They can do nothing but wait until their mother eagle return to the nest to bring the necessary food and drinks and or whatever else is needed to keep her eaglets alive. We must stay in the nest of God. The nest of God's house, and trust in the fact that he will bring us to what we need, and then accept and digest what comes, because we need to know it will work together for our own good. See, those little baby eaglets will cry, they'll scream, they'll flap, and they'll flap around a lot. And generally make a real scene while they're being cared for. Sometimes they even fall out the nest. But does that sound like some of us, some Christians you might know? When the trials come, they begin to cry and moan and scream and even launch out and let the whole world know that something's going bad, something's not working right for them. Just how bad things really are. But it is as though They're drowning in tears, dying in sorrow, and that God has abandoned them. And I'm going to tell you something. Hurt people hurt people. Where is faith in that kind of reaction? How can we say that we are, that we trust in God? We're trusting in our Almighty to meet our every need. And then we act as though we have no hope. We mistreat people. People are the center of ministry. But the reason so many Christians fail the fiery test, and I'm coming to a close, the fiery test of their faith is that too many are bankrupt. Too many bankrupt spiritual Christians. Because when the trial comes, and so we have no faith in the trial, and no trust in God, and in our spiritual account, we can't even draw strength from it, because we haven't spent time preparing, praying, saving up, travailing, because we can't pull from that account, because there's nothing in it. See, our blessings are stored up and saved up for a rainy day. A rainy day is a day of trial that will come. We haven't spent time studying the Word. We haven't spent time praying. We haven't spent time with God. We have not spent time fasting. We have gone about our daily lives as though there were never going to come a time of trouble when we had to pull from that resource, pull from that account, when we have to know that God is going to provide for us. See, God won't let you stay on the mountaintop for long, because it's down in the valley that your strength and your faith will grow. And just take my mind to a song. You know, with this song, I think the song was called, I kind of know the words, it says, the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. The God of the good times is still God in the bad times. Rakorabosha. The God of the day is still God of the night. That's the God that we serve. In Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that he cannot hear. And sometimes, some of us, if not all of us, when we're facing some great battles and some great trials, and it's testing time, and we're taking our final exam, and God has blessed, and now it's time to see if we will trust Him or not. It's time to see if you're going to trust Him. And let me just take you back to that eagle. Though many of us have seen pictures, you know, of huge eagles and a huge eagle nest high in the branches of a tree, or even in the edge of that tree on the cliff, and few of us have gotten a glimpse inside of those nests. But when a mother eagle built her nest, she starts with thorns, those thorns, broken branches, sharp rocks, and a number of other items that seem entirely unsuitable for the project. But when she lined the nest with a thin padding of wood, wool and feathers and furs from animals that she had killed, making it soft and comfortable for the eggs. But by the time the growing birds reach flying age, the comfort, and I want you to see this, the comfort of the nest and the luxury of free meals make them quite reluctant to leave. But when the mother eagle began to stir up the nest with her strong wings, she began to pull up the thick carpet of fur and feathers, and she brings the sharp rocks and branches to the surface as more of the bedding get plucked up, and the nest began more uncomfortable for the young eagle. And eventually, this and other urging prompts the growing eagle to leave their once comfortable abode, has moved on, and is not comfortable anymore. For their mature behavior. Just as the mother eagle never forgets to come back to her nest, she has to empty that nest out, because now they have grown. They have matured. Jesus will not forget you either. As that mother eagle is always out gathering and preparing a way for her little eaglets, so is Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gathering, preparing, and protecting his sheep. Just as the mother stirs her nest up to force her eaglets to grow and go, Jesus has to stir us up and mess up our little playhouse, if you will. And he make it uncomfortable for us enough to mature and to be more like him. And if you're facing great trials and tests right now, I just want you to lift up your hand. Lift up your head and look to Jesus, because your answer is already on the way. Don't allow Satan to destroy your victory. Don't allow him to convince you that all is lost. Don't listen to his deceiving lies, his deceiving lying voice. Listen to the voice of the Lord and the words of God, and lift up your head, O ye gates. Let the King of glory come in. Lift up your head, for your Redeemer is closer than you think. And it won't be long. It won't be long until this world and all of this trouble in it will be left behind. And you shall see the King in all of his glory. And he shall be like him, the Father, with him in heaven. And what a wonderful, glorious day that it will be when my Jesus, that I'll be able to see him. When I look upon his face and behold his grace. But until then, my heart is going to sing. Until then, with grace, I'm going to carry on. Until that day that my eyes can behold my Savior, I'm going to put my faith, I'm going to put my trust in him, and he will not fail me. See, the Bible says, let God be the truth and man be a lie. I'm going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to put my trust in him, and he'll let my spirit soar. above this world. And he will lift your spirit upon, above the world, upon an eagle's wing. And you will be strengthened for the journey ahead only by patience, waiting, placing your whole heart and trust in God, and trust in him totally, that he alone will renew your strength. Of course, he's going to send somebody. He's not going to come down and do it. See, God has so much under control that if you're a child of the Most High God and you look up to your father, you look up to your daddy, and he'll see your need, and the answer is already on the way. So in closing, and I thank you so much for joining in, but I just pray that you see the bigger picture, that you understand that we don't have time to not be focused on winning, that we don't have time to have a pity party, that we don't have time to make excuses, that we got to press in deeper. We got to go deeper, 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 deeper in the spirit to birth out some things in the natural, not just in ourselves, but in our family life, in our friends' life, and even our enemies. God said that he will get you in a place where even your enemies will speak well of you. Glory to God. So I just want to bless you this evening, and I want to thank you for just tuning in. Because, see, the vision that God has given to Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders, is to build you up, to birth you out, so that that eagle that got pushed out the nest, that he'll know how to survive. He'll know how to follow the principle. He'll know what it takes to win as he trusts in God. Are you an eagle? Are you an eagle? I want to encourage you to soar and stay connected with us. I want to invite you, if you're not part of the prayer line, call in and join in with the prayer line. 218-895-0280. And the entry code is 7729. Let us pray with you. Let us touch and agree with you so that your life can change. And those that don't know God in the pardon of your sin, don't you see his hands open to you? Those that have backslid, he said he's married to you. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the word says thou shalt be saved. Oh yes, but you got to work your soul salvation out with fear and trembling. But we invite you to the kingdom. We invite you to be part of what God is doing. And if you believe, if you confess that God raised Jesus from the dead, he did not stay dead, you're saved. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one. You can go to our website, www.kingdombuildersplaza.org. You can get an MP3 version of the Bible if you don't have one. We want to sow in your life. We want to be a blessing to you. In the name of Jesus. The angels are rejoicing, and we're rejoicing. These lines are orchestrated to make a better you. And if you like what we're doing, we want to encourage you to sow into what we're doing. You can go to our website. You can sow through the website. Just click on donation, and you can sow. And we thank God for our sponsors, those that sow into Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, to keep us going, so that the vision shall not tarry, but it shall speak. It shall come to pass. So we encourage you to sow into the ministry. We're working on an intercessor's headquarters, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Be part of that. Sow into it. Sowing into good ground. We want to make a brief announcement, and then we're going to release you. If anyone wants anything that you have to say, I'm going to encourage you to press 1 on your phone, and I'll open the line for you. If not, we're going to stay with the announcement. We want to invite you to our conference in the Detroit, Michigan area. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. You want to be there, because we're going to get refreshed, renewed, and restored by the Holy Spirit. God's going to meet us there. Your life will never be the same. The conference is April 25th, 26th, and 27th. We will be doing a prophetic dinner theater. The testimonies will be coming for real, true life stories will be performed. We're going to be doing gospel karaoke. It's going to be full fellowship and fun on that Thursday night. Ha! I am so excited about it. If you have not made your reservation, if you have not registered, we want to encourage you to register. Do your reservation. You can pay in part. Just get it paid. And there's limited hotel rooms at our rate. So we want you to make your reservation at the hotel. You can give me a call, Minister Sophia, Evangelist Hannah. You can even call Kingdom Builders Headquarters. Our number is area code 312-574-0212. Leave a message. If you don't get an answer, one of us will return your call. You can reach Evangelist Hannah at area code 312-890-3204. And I'm giving you these different numbers. You can touch base with me. You can reach me at 586-914-1251. Minister Sophia Parks, her number is 313-333-7536. And we'll be more than happy to direct you to helping you plan out to get to the conference. We have sponsorship forms. We have an ad book. We want you to put an ad in the book. If you help us by getting people to take ads out, it will cover our overhead. Well, we're excited. I'm telling you, we're excited about what God is doing, and I will not miss this move of God. The conference will be held at the Holiday Inn Express Suites in Southfield, Michigan. And the address is 125-100 Northwestern Highway. You can make your reservation through our website, www.KingdomBuildersPlaza.org. The hotel information is there. So again, we just want to thank you. And also, we have an upcoming conference in the Chicago, Illinois area that will be in October. So it's the end of October. Plan for it. We'll be doing something in Chicago. And I'm telling you, God is stretching us. Come on and be part of it. Be part of it. And if you can't come, sow a seed. Sow a seed and reap the harvest. I'll tell you, because this ministry is all about others. It's not about us. Not about us. So again, we want to encourage you in the Lord tonight. And we want to just say to you, there is no good thing that He will withhold from you, those that walk uprightly. So we have to seek the Lord. Seek Him. Seek Him early. And the Word says, and you shall find Him. Join us at 5 a.m. Central Time on the prayer line. And then Blog Talk will be every day at 7 p.m. If there's not ministry, there will be music. We'll be playing prophetic music. We have a whole new lineup coming. So we want to encourage you. Come on Blog Talk, 661-449-9911. So we just bless God for what he's doing. We bless him because he's moving by his spirit. And we want to give you just a foretaste of the type of prayers that will be going forth at the prophetic conference. And in closing, I'm going to play that for you when we close out. But again, I just want to say to you, be blessed. Be filled with the joy of the Lord. Be blessed. God bless you all. God bless you all. Have a blessed rest of the evening. And just know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. We love you again. This is Prophetess Teresa Dock. We came on at 8 o'clock tonight, but normally it's 7 o'clock. Our regular broadcast is at 7 o'clock Central Time. Minister Sophia comes on at 8 o'clock Central Time. And that will be 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Well, in closing, I just want to bless you with this prophetic prayer. Don't hang up. Listen to the prayer. It's about 4 minutes and 30 seconds. God bless you all and have a wonderful evening.
I thank you, Lord, for salvation and healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. I thank you that the anointing, your anointing that destroys the yoke in the name of Jesus. Father God, I decree and declare that let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be established in every community, city, and state. I lift up every intercessor, every watchman, every seer, every battle axe, every spiritual legislator of the Lord, and prayer warriors who stand in between the porch and the altar. Lord, I thank you for the gates of righteousness. I cover them with the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Anoint your people to tread upon serpents and scorpions. I agree with heaven that the people of God have power over the all power of the enemy. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for keen discernment, Father God, that will come upon every intercessor in the name of Jesus, God. Let every hidden snare of the enemy, Father God, against your church be exposed. I bind up every assignment of every bloodthirsty man in the name of Jesus. We bind and break all spirits of witchcraft and backlash and revenge and retaliation on those who have given their lives to stand in the gap in the name of Jesus. Every fiery dart of the enemy against the anointed one has boomeranged in the name of Jesus. We take dominion over spirits of heaviness and confusion and spirits of despondency in the name of Jesus that will cause the intercessors not to be alert and not to be on the wall in the name of Jesus. We pray against every distraction. We come against all frustration assigned to make intercessors get off the wall. We say in the name of Jesus, they shall be on the wall and they shall intercede and pray. What thus said the Lord in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare tonight that we are spiritual legislators, that we will speak what thus said the Lord. We break and destroy the power that will come against prayers. I thank you for intercessors who abide under the covering of spiritual authority in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that there will be no long ranger spirits. We break spirits of rebellion, monotony, cliques, false prophetic unction in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare spirits of unity, cohesiveness among the intercessors in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that they will run with the vision of their leader, Father God, that you will give them prophetic insight right now in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that they will live upright and holy in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they will make up a hedge and build walls around the body of Christ. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that they are rising from their slumber, God, that they are rising from their sleep in the name of Jesus. Oh, intercessor, where art thou? I command you to arise and take your place in the earth in the name of Jesus. Arise and take your gate in the city. Arise and take your place in the name of Jesus. Our intercessors, I shake you from your slumber. I command you to rise up and begin to decree a thing, and it shall be established in the name of Jesus. Let every intercessor, God, let every intercessor under the sound of my voice, God, let them be a student of the word, God. Let us study to show ourselves approved in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, that's how you're name of Jesus, that you will rebaptize us, God. Baptize us with Holy Ghost and with fire, God. Give us new tongues, God. Give us new discernment, God. Let that spirit of discernment be upon us, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God. Discernment, God. Let it be upon us, God. Let us begin to see things, God, even before they manifest, God. Let us begin to be and to prophesy, Father God, what will be on the morning paper, God, in the name of Jesus. Intercessors arise and take your place. Spiritual legislators arise. Watchmen arise. Get on your post in the name of Jesus. There's a need for you. Begin to arise and take dominion. Walk in authority in the name of Jesus.
Well, praise God. We want to say good evening to you. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the evening. We love you, and we'll see you next Saturday. Same place, same time. This is Prophetess Teresa Phillip Dox. God bless you all, and have a wonderful evening.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for our children and youth right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just plead the blood of Jesus over our children and youth, God. We plead the blood of Jesus over the school systems, God. We plead the blood right now in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit that will put a spotlight on the world and make it appear more beautiful and dazzling than it really is. We decree and declare tonight that this spirit has been bound and rendered weak and powerless in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare tonight that the generation that is being birthed will be as those that are thirst and hunger after the things of God in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that you will raise up young intercessors, Father God, that you will raise up young prayer warriors, Father God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will release them in the middle schools, God, that you will release them in the elementary schools, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that your anointing, Father God, will be upon our youth, Father God, even as early as 5 years old, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, God, that prophetic grace will be upon us even at five, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, God, that you will release them in the high schools, God, and the colleges, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will release your anointing, Father God, into the technical colleges, God. Let them begin to rise up, Father God. Let them begin to rise up and tell people about you, God. Let them begin to rise up, Father God. Let them begin to rise up in training and education, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would anoint the young people to begin to represent you in the marketplace, God. That will begin to represent you in Hollywood. That will begin to represent you, God, in the political arenas, in the professional athlete arenas. We pray in the name of Jesus that industries of influence, Father God, in the lives of our young people, Father God, we break and destroy everything that will come against our youth in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit of murder. We bind all premature death. We bind all sickness and infirmity. We come against you now in the name of Jesus. We command you to get your hands off of our youth in the name of Jesus. We break the curse of the fatherless generation. Jesus, we thank you, Father God, that the spirit of the Father is being released into the nation, God. Let fathers arise, God. Let fathers arise, God. Let mothers arise and be parents to their children in the name of Jesus, God. We bind and we destroy every spirit of abortion. We come against spirits of abortion in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would deal with the powers concerning the innocent blood shed in the land in the name of Jesus. Let every snare, every wicked plan, every evil device that's set against the unborn be broken now in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that the devices set against our children from the womb are broken. We bind every perverse spirit that will come against our children in the name of Jesus. We bind incubus and succubus. We bind masturbation and homosexuality and gender changes. We come against pornography. We come against incest and masturbation and lust and rape. We come against every spirit that will violate our children in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that you shall not steal their purity in the name of Jesus. Let the purity of the Lord, let it begin to rise on our children. Let the purity of the Lord begin to arise, God. Let them begin to live upright and holy, God. Let them begin to save their self for their spouses, God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Rakaya said, Rebellion, 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 R
Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on His promise, understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say,
Well, bless God, we're still here. I was going to hang up the line, but the Holy Spirit just encouraged me to continue to play music. Reclaim your fountain.
Somebody shout hallelujah to the King tonight. Church, are you ready to take back all that the enemy has stolen? Reclaim the systems of this world, for the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord. Because if we walk around and tell them, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back. Tonight, Father, we reclaim the mountain. We go forth in the power and authority. Come on, SG, lift it down. Say, can't you hear?
Come on.
Hallelujah. What you going to say when he comes for you? You got a gift that God needs. He needs that gift. And the enemy want to have you bound where you're not using that gift. We're just going to tell the enemy, I'm never going to be bound again.
Agree with you in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I prayed for you. I prayed for you. I'm going to use your story. I want to be free right now. Open your mouth and begin to tell the Lord. I want to be free right now. Tell the Lord. I'm ready to be delivered right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your mouth and tell him, God, I give you every failure. God, I give you every secret in my life. God, I give you every hidden thing. I'm ready. Shake it off of me. Deliver me in my secret that I might be free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll go on prayer. 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. He's breaking it off of you. He's changing your appetite. He's changing your desire. Somebody clap your hands for these people. Somebody's getting free. We break the cords. We break the cords of wickedness. We break the cords of your bondage. Woman, be free. Woman, be free. Woman, be delivered. Woman, be whole today. I've already prayed for you. I've already fixed it. I've already died and rose again for it.
I've got my liberty.
Lord, I receive my liberty. Lord, I receive my
I've got my liberty.
And I'm telling you, never being bound again is a powerful statement. And once you tell the enemy, I'll never be bound again, God want to do a new thing. He want to do a new thing in your life.
Isaiah 43 and 19 says, be alert and be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert and rivers through the badlands. This is Joshua Cole, featuring Anthony Campbell and overseer Paulette Brown. I will do a new thing
in you. I will do a new thing
in you.
A new thing in you. I will do a new thing in you. Whatever you ask for, whatever you pray for, nothing shall.
God is going to make a way when you see like there's no way. God is doing a new thing in his people. As we move here to walk in what God is calling us to walk into, God is going to make some places and open some doors that you thought you could never go. But believe God and trust him, and God is going to open some new doors and make some new ways in this new year. I believe God for that, and I trust God for that. Because Isaiah the prophet has spoken, and I believe the word of the Lord, that God will do a new thing. God will make some new ways. It says that whatever you ask for in this song, whatever you pray for, shall not be denied, said the Lord. Believe it and receive the word of the Lord.
God is doing a new thing. Our last song for tonight, because he's doing that new thing, we want to encourage you to speak life, because you're going to have what you say.
We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. They're stressed, they're depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS, in Brazil, the States.
I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life. You are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. I speak life. Don't give up the fight for your life. You shall live.
Lose another person to a senseless death, substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me sing.
Don't give up the fight for you.
You shall live and not die. Well, we're going to end the broadcast tonight, but I also want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. We want to encourage those that are requesting prayer. There's a 24-hour, 7 days a week prayer line with a live intercessor that's going forth on Pray Live, where our dear friend, Sister Wanda, is the founder and the overseer of that line. We want to give you the number in case you want to call in with any prayer requests or testimonies. PrayLive.com. You can dial 1-443-524-9880. Again, that number is 443-524-9880. And the entry code is *5412. There's a live intercessor on the line 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can call in at any time and get a live intercessor. Being obedient to the Holy Spirit, so if you want to enjoy more intercession and prayer, call in to PrayLive.com. You can also go on the web to PrayLive.com, and you can listen to the live intercession going on 24 hours, 7 days a week. God is moving by His Spirit. So God bless everyone on the line. Thank you for staying with us and being blessed with the presence of the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. And just trade in your sorrows. Trade them in for the blessings of the Lord. And last but not least, good night, everyone.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of